Check, check, check. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Okay, so let's get moving because time is quite tight. We have a hard cutoff with our to move to our session with the board. So I'd like to welcome the team from the EWG Working Group and hand over directly to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tony, and good morning, everyone. My name is Jean-François Baril. Very pleased to be here today. Very nice to be invited to this commercial group. And to have kind of more intimate dialogue than we were able to have yesterday, and very much specialized on the commercial side of the equation. I'm coming today with many of our group members, so get Michael over there. Michael, if you can raise your hand, and Landre, Stephanie, Rod, Susan, that probably you know very well from this group. Then in the back, Margie, Lisa, Dennis, I missed someone probably. No. So, as I said, I think it will be very important after you have probably read some of our initial report, at least the executive side of it, posted on June 24th. Some of you were in the webinar that we organized on July 8th. Then we had this public session yesterday. So I think it's probably not best use of our time if we once again put the slides. I think much prefer to collect your insights, your view, and how this is affecting one way or another, positively or preferably, your business. So that's what I think we are looking for. Looking forward, we have put the deadline of August the 12th for collecting maximum input and elements from different groups. And then by October, preferably beginning of October, but I'm not too sure because it's still a massive amount of work when we look at the detail now on what we are embarked into our journey. But by October, present the final report to the CEO of ICANN and the board. And hopefully when we are in Rio for ICANN 48, then this is much more solid base, such a way that people can we can help the people to go to the next transition on PDP.
Thank you. So let's open up for comments, questions. Mikey.
This is Mikey O'Connor. I'm just going to reprise what I said in the session yesterday with maybe a little bit narrower focus. And that is, what I was trying to say yesterday is that there are clearly some long-standing and well-developed issues that will lead to deadlock in any PDP unless some navigation beacons can be laid out in your report that say, okay, we know that's an issue. And you heard a lot of them yesterday in the commentary. And what would really be helpful as a person who might be on that PDP would be, here are some of the tips of the icebergs, and here's a possible course that would drive through that minefield or iceberg field. Because what I was trying to say yesterday is that my concern is that at the level that your report is right now, it all makes perfect sense, but the devil's in the details on this. Chris Despain is a wonderful guy, but he's kind of a blockhead at times. And he was saying, well, yeah, we're going to get more detail. I'm not really asking for more detail. I'm asking for a navigational chart that helps us avoid just walking right into deadlock and then spending another decade deadlock. So I just wanted to refine that a little bit.
And your point is extremely well taken, and I think this in the mind of everyone of us in this EWG, we are very conscious that if we leave that at the very high level that it is today, it is not going to be easy for the next step to implement in the right spirit that we have predefined or pre-anticipated. So we are committed to work very diligently on this aspect, not only to bring more detail, but also to imagine different scenarios on how to navigate through all the pitfalls on what it is. This is well understood. This is not so easy, by the way. And this is what I thought it would be easy when we get the principle at the high level. But as yesterday when we, after the pre-big session, when we get together and we try to understand what is going to happen, I say, wow, there's much more work needs to happen.
Okay, thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Steve Metalitz. Thanks again to all the working group members. I think you've really moved things forward very significantly here. My question is actually somewhat builds on Mikey's, and it really goes to what level of detail you were looking for in the comments. I'll give an example. You have this approach of looking at the use cases and trying to identify which data elements are needed for which types of uses of this data. And as this has been reviewed by our team, people have said, no, we actually need this. They left out this data element. I mean, for example, you have IP address down there for only very limited categories of uses, and actually it is extremely useful in a lot of other areas as well. So we can provide you with you know, kind of edits or sort of, is that the level of detail that you are looking for? And obviously on a short time frame like this, you know, August 12th is not long off, it's hard to both grapple with the overall questions and add these detailed comments, but they interface with each other. I think we, even if we say we approve of the overall approach that you're taking, that approval might the level of approval might change dramatically if there weren't changes to the particular, you know, allocation of the data element. So I'm just seeking your guidance as to what type of commentary or reaction would be most useful to the group.
I think, Steve, that's a very good comment, and we'll take care of this one. We think we have reviewed a lot of use cases, and I think it was the basis and the foundation of how we get started to make sure that from these two things we understand who is doing what and for which purposes. In which context. If in the case we would have missed some important use case, I'm sure we can dig into this one. Of course, timing is very important. But if there's a fundamental thing which is opening up a different set of elements that we have not captured in our analysis, of course, we do that. Maybe, Rod, as you've been...
So, Steve, we did, you know, with Fab on the team... myself on the team. I'm sorry, Susan Kawaguchi. We presented specific use cases, and by no means is that all IP uses. But there was sort of a limited amount of time. I mean, we spent weeks and weeks and weeks looking at use cases and really diving in. So I'd be happy, more than happy, to work with representatives of the CSG on additional use cases that we could use to guide us. So maybe we can do that sometime here, just get a list going. But on the other hand, you know, once we sort of looked at, we did look at other things that we may not have written up and sort of came out with the same data elements. So we felt they may have been covered. But if we've missed anything, be more than happy to work on that.
Let me just clarify. I'm not saying you missed use cases. I'm saying that in the use cases you have, people have pointed out to me there are other data elements that are needed.
Then so that's really important.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Let's talk.
Stephanie, if you want.
Perhaps it's a good thing Chris isn't here to silence my mic. It's Stephanie Perrin responding to that. And I'm following up, actually, on something that Mikey had said earlier. One of the really complex things, I mean, obviously we're not supposed to go down into the complete weeds and tell people how to do it, but if you don't get down to the weeds, you don't apply scope to these generally permissible uses. And I think on the data protection side and the privacy and civil liberties side, there's going to be great consternation if it is sort of generally accepted that this permissible use means everything's okay in that ballpark. And accuracy, which you have to accept narrower scope and not the sort of country club pass type of approach to the central database. And from a data protection perspective, a central repository makes it easier to have a center of expertise to apply data protection law without having to, sorry for the lawyers in the room, hire a lawyer every time you get a request. So it should bring reduced costs, but it comes with an increased responsibility and more workload, frankly, to evaluate the requests. So from my perspective, we need that nuance in the report, how that's going to help the policy process, because there's still an awful lot of very hard work. And with respect to data protection, I would gently submit work that hasn't been particularly done in the past. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that may be happening now that isn't legal. Just saying.
Christina?
Christina Rosette, IPC. Thank you all very much for this report, which is extraordinarily helpful. And as someone who fought in the trenches with many of the folks in this room in the last Who Is PDP working group, I can only wholeheartedly endorse what Mikey said. Those most recent battles kind of raised in my mind a question that a topic that was very contentious before in previous discussions, but is not really addressed in the report. And what I would just like to note is, and that is the topic of whether the registrant would receive any notice of the fact that its registration data had been reviewed or requested for review. You know, that obviously from the IPC perspective raises significant issues and you know, quite candidly will basically render moot many enforcement efforts. However, I guess what I'm asking is, does the EWG have a view on this? And if there is a view, I think if the view is that no, there should not be a provision for the registrant to be notified, I think it would be very useful to make that very clear in the final report and close that off.
Anyone wants to comment? Stephanie, of course.
I can speak best from the perspective, Stephanie Perrin, of the Canadian data protection law, and I can assure you that that is a right under the notification is a right under the Canadian data protection law. Possibly not one that's being exercised by applicants or by registrars, but it is a right. So I don't think that the report...
I think it would be helpful for there.
Stephanie and I are definitely on different sides of that issue. Personally, I would say absolutely not, for those reasons I'm sure you understand. But I think we also need to look at this data as commercial data and individual data. So if you are commercial, and we have not come to a decision on this and really had that discussion, we need to yet, but it's on the agenda. We may decide differently for individual non-monetized sites. If there may be a distinction there.
Understood. And I think ultimately my request is just that there be some indication in the final report of what the disposition of that issue is, even if it is, we discussed this, we were unable to reach consensus.
So, and speaking from kind of the investigatory law enforcement perspective, obviously there's a desire to be able to do investigations without notifying the particular person or group that you're looking at things. So this all gets back to use cases, right? So, and permissible purposes and use, and we have not fleshed this out as far as the notification things. It's come up a little bit, but that's one of the areas we're going to dig into. But yes, there's conflicting law interests, et cetera, here, and we've got to try and, as best we can, deconflict this, and we will make a statement around that, I think, as part of what we're doing.
I think Rob said it all, but I think this particular area is an area we've not had extensive discussion on. And I guess this is a good opportunity to have input. So if you could send us some input in this area, that would be very helpful.
So this is to reflect which is the limit of our investigation and where we are at the moment. Very difficult topic. We will not have a statu quo in the way that we will have a position. At least we will post it into our report what is the... We want to have a solution or we cannot have a solution for this reason.
You're certainly in the right place to get some input, I think, on that. Mikey.
This was very helpful discussion, and I think you start to understand why, as a person who's likely to be in a PDP, I don't want to leave all of that for us, because these are complicated. And let me offer maybe an intermediate process suggestion, which is, at least in terms of these topics, you've got an awful lot of expertise available in these constituencies. And I know that you are the exalted expert working group placed on the mountaintop, and we are awaiting the tablets with glee. But if you wanted to take a little detour down here into the lower reaches, I'm sure that a lot of us would be more than happy.
The issue is not about the deep expertise, even if the deep expertise is needed at some point. I think it's the match between the deep expertise and the soft skills to find a solution and to converge to a point where we understand that we have to make one step in the middle of the table. That's probably even more difficult. And if we stay only at the top expertise, they always conflict, because there's no way, there's two sides or three sides to the coin. So that's why we try to put in motion within EWG is, yes, we get access to all expertise we want to have, and we have already a lot of expertise in the team, but this is not enough to find a proposal, to make a proposal for the impossible question to solve. This is to put a circle into a square, which is by definition not possible.
And okay. Mikey, we can't do it without you, so you got to be there.
I'll tell you true, if this is Mikey again. If the PDP charter is based on this report, I'm running. I'm not going even close to that PDP, because it's guaranteed to break everybody's heart.
And that definitely sparked some discussions in our session yesterday just with the group. So we're looking at that, but there's a lot of things to look at.
Okay, so we have an opportunity for a couple of final questions, or one final question probably. Anybody want to raise any other issues? Steve?
Well, given that opportunity, I or was there somebody who hasn't spoken yet that wanted to speak?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Malcolm.
Thank you. I asked a question in the main session yesterday relating to jurisdiction and whether there was an intent to make it easier for those outside the jurisdiction in which the registrant is to gain access mandatorily to the registrant's information. And if I understood the answer correctly, it was essentially yes, to achieve a degree of harmonisation to make that easier. So I would have this bit of feedback to that, if that is the direction that this is going, that the report should make it very clear as to on what basis the committee, the working group, thinks that it is appropriate and legitimate for ICANN to establish mechanisms that prefer the interests of a foreign government's law enforcement agencies in accessing my data over my interests in not being subject to the laws of a foreign government or investigated by them.
Well, a couple of things. ICANN is not a body that has legislative powers. I think that we all agree on that. That means it cannot legislate through the back door and have a harmonization of whichever level of data protection laws. So any mechanism that is proposed has to respect the applicable law of the whichever the law is applicable according to which standards. So I don't think that this is should be interpreted as a mechanism to facilitate things that otherwise are not possible because a citizen is protected by the law of his country. And I think so that must probably then the message was not quite clear, but this is not going to change that fundamental principle.
In addition to that, the system is being designed such that the core focus of this system is based on purpose. The requesters are going to be given data based on the purpose of their request. So the core principle is that purpose is very critical in what we are designing. So if the law enforcement states the purpose for requesting particular registration data, the data made available to him will be based on that purpose. And I believe that may factor in jurisdiction.
Maybe you'll sleep tonight now, Malcolm.
Okay, I was just considering, for clarity, the circumstances in which the investigation was by an entirely proper, duly accredited law enforcement agency in one country, that the purpose was investigating the breach of a law, which might well have be clearly a law, and there may be well to be investigated. And it might even be the case that what the registrant had done would have constituted an offence under the laws of that other country. But where he did it, it was lawful to do. But nonetheless, the investigating agency thinks, well, by putting this thing on the internet, you've made it available to our citizens, and that is an offence in our country. Meanwhile, where the person did it, they published that material that was perfectly lawful to publish in that country. That's the scenario I'm talking about. So the purpose, I understand, but it doesn't necessarily answer the question unless the jurisdictional question is clearly articulated as to how that is intended to be resolved. And if there were an intent to make it easier for those proper authorities to properly investigate what are prima facie offences under their law, nonetheless, there is a conflict of interest there.
Michael?
There are two things, the question of applicable law and jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. And there are also the issue of data protection for non-criminal issues, and wherever there is a law enforcement investigation, nothing is going to change the necessity for due process in some area, in some countries, and other mechanisms to protect people that are investigated according to the legal procedures of that country. Now, the issue you're talking about is an issue which is much beyond our issue here, because we have, and here I talk about jurisdiction, we have a number of court decisions that are contradictory on this issue. And this, what we're doing here, cannot solve that issue.
Okay, thank you. Just to follow up on that point.
Sorry.
Just not to continue on the Mikey, this is going to be really hard theme, but we were just in the registrar's group, and they asked us to consider the fact that there is a proliferation of central databases, including the escrow one. And that adds a layer of complexity to this problem, but it doesn't alter the fundamental point which Michael just made. I mean, this issue of what you release to law enforcement is well known to data protection commissioners. It's a question of enforcing it, and that might make matters much simpler in this regard. The fact is that with the current, shall we say, broken system, a lot of this stuff is out there anyway, so the enforcement has been lacking. We are now putting it behind a fence, and then there is a very strong duty to enforce the applicable law.
Okay. Zahid, we have to cut this.
Just very quickly. You know, data protection is on a trump card when it comes to law enforcement or criminal investigation. It does not sort of come in the way and say, well, I've got data protection rights, so even if there's a crime that's been committed, you cannot get access to the data. In fact, quite the opposite. When it comes to a criminal investigation, data protection rights are actually excluded. The question then arises is, to what extent is the investigation, the due process there, appropriate? And that's the only question. So you got to keep that in balance. It's not a binary. Thank you.
Okay. So with that, we are going to be out of time because we have this hard stop to meet with the board. So I'd like to thank you very much for joining us. And this has been a very interesting session. I'm sure we could have gone on a lot longer. But thank you very much for joining us, and I'm sure we'll have some follow-up dialogue.
Thank you, Tony. And looking forward for the input on the 12th.
So, have you finished, Tony? We have, thank you.